Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are back, our second week in quarantine, but we are here with you guys to talk about the latest episode of The Walking Dead, episode 13, called What We Become. I've got an amazing panel with me. I've got April Wissenhand in the corner. How's it going, April?
Hey, everybody. Happy to be back with y'all.
And I've got Cedric Walton down there as well.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
And Benny Adams, what's going on?
Woo! What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's nice to see that Benny doesn't look like a serial killer in this week's episode as opposed to last week with that lighting, Benny. Jeez.
You know what? I got the approval from Tim, so I'm happy.
There you go.
Yes, we all approve of your lighting. So this episode was awesome, in my opinion. It was Michonne's last episode. We're definitely going to talk about it. We've got some media at the end of the show. We've also got our Deadweight segment at the end of the show, also for you guys to look forward to. It'll be the person we think didn't really do much this episode. I have a feeling of who we all thought that might be. Plus, we're going to do our favorite kill segment at the end of the episode as well. Let's dive in, shall we, you guys? So,
yeah.
P.S. Hope everybody's staying safe out there through this whole COVID-19 coronavirus. Wash your hands, stay safe, stay home. Let's dive in. So, overall thoughts of the episode. April, I'm going to shoot it over to you first.
I loved the kind of weird sort of like It's a Wonderful Life-esque scenarios that we got of Michonne, like her being able to say, okay, if she made that little decision not to save Andrea, like I loved that aspect of the episode. There were parts, now that we know it was Michonne's last episode, that I was a little disappointed with, because I kind of didn't need the whole, like, you just spent so much time on this like trippy tea, all that kind of crap. I know it's like we needed it to, in order for it to set us up, but overall, it was shocking to me that it was her last episode, because we had gotten no confirmation or news about that before. Overall, I definitely enjoyed it, though.
Cedric, what did you think?
This is one of the episodes that actually left me wanting a lot more, especially for a send-off episode for Michonne. But I did dig the whole if the roles were reversed type aspect with seeing Michonne as a savior. I thought I really dug that and dug the way it played out. But I was so torn at the end, just wanting to know more, especially for a send-off episode.
Benny, what did you think of the episode?
So,
Benny's got a lot of thoughts.
After I finished watching this episode, I was like, this was such a good episode. It was amazing. And then, and I shouldn't even say this, but and then I find out, because I knew her last episode was coming up, but I didn't know this was going to be her last episode. I thought her last episode was going to be like in the season finale. So I'm thinking we're going to see like what this community is that she's coming to. I knew we weren't going to see Rick in the season, but I just felt that we were going to see more of her finding out clues that Rick is alive. And so after hearing that this was, her last episode, it was kind of a letdown. But at the same time, I'm glad she didn't die. So I can only assume that she's going to be in the movies. But yeah, so I'm like, I'm 50-50 on it. I was 100%, but now I'm 50-50.
You know what? I'm 50-50 as well. I really enjoyed the whole, like Cedric said, the whole role reversal, or what would have happened, or like the title is What We Become, had things not aligned in certain ways. I liked seeing that aspect. I also loved all the return of a lot of the characters that we've, you know, grown to love throughout the entire series. You know, Andrea made an appearance, Glenn was back, Rick, obviously, Abraham, Sasha, like all of these people that came back. That was nice to see them, even if it was, you know, previous shot footage. There wasn't really any new footage except for Andrea's. I think Andrea's might have been new. But I mean, it was still nice to see, you know, familiar faces that we'd gotten to know. And I enjoyed the episode. I did feel like it was a little bit lackluster for Michonne's last episode. And I think you are onto something, Benny. I think she might be in the movies. And if they don't, it's a complete disservice to Michonne's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's dive in. So let's talk about this opening shot, shall we? Because it kind of threw me for a loop for a second, because, you know, we see Michonne and how she used to be with the tied up walkers. And then we see Andrea running through the forest and she gets attacked by the walkers, and the Michonne doesn't do anything to help. Did you guys automatically catch on to what was happening, or was anybody else a little confused?
I was confused at first because I just thought, I was like, are we going to go through a dream sequence or something like that? I didn't think they were going to do it in the way of this is her reliving her story on the show. You know, I think Michonne came in like late season two, maybe. But it did, like, something about the scene with Andrea pulled me back into my, you know, vault of the Walking Dead memories. But I didn't, no, I was surprised how they ended up going with it. But also I was like, good to see Andrea. I started Googling right then. I was like, are they bringing her back somehow? But they're definitely not. But, you know.
Yeah, I was confused as well. Like, I understood what they were kind of getting into, like the whole like what if scenario. I thought it was really cool that they, you know, with technology now, that they were able to, you know, show her and Michonne like in the same place. So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, it was cool seeing like an OG back on the show that we haven't seen in a while. So yeah.
And initially I was kind of hyped to see Andrea, but I was so lost. I didn't know what was going on. So, and then of course we know what happens, and to see her walk off, I was just completely thrown off until we got to about maybe 20 minutes into the episode. But I thought it was cool how they did it at the end of the day.
Yeah, the opening shot definitely drew me in. Andrea, I don't know if you guys know this, but Andrea used to be one of my favorite characters of the show, not because of her role in the show. I think she did a great job in the show, but because of her role in the comics. She has a really prevalent role inside of the comics, and the show did stray far away from her role than they do in the comics, but I really liked Andrea's character. I thought that the way that they ended her character was actually really poetic, so it was kind of nice to see her. I was hoping to see more of her, but I it was Michonne's episode, not Andrea's episode. Like, I understand why they didn't. So in case you guys forgot, since it's been so long and we've had a lot going on, Michonne is pretty much taking Virgil, the man that she is with, back to his island called Bloodsworth Island. And it's a naval base. So she is returning him back to his family in exchange for weapons to fight against the Whisperers. Now, we see them dock the boat. They start off inland. They get to his camp, and Michonne automatically knows that something is up. Now, did you guys trust Virgil from the get-go, or did you feel what Michonne was feeling?
I trusted him. I was pissed, too, that I trusted him. I honestly didn't see that coming whatsoever, because he seemed so sincere about, you know, his family that passed away. And yeah, I did not see any of that coming. It just made me really pissed and mad at him that he would do that to her, because she's trusting him. She's putting down her guard and doing what's right to help this guy. And then he comes and screws her over. So yeah.
Not to forget, she also left her own group in a really, really, you know, dire time in order to help this guy.
Yeah.
So that's nothing. April, were you going to say?
That's what ended up pissing me off the most, honestly. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched the last episode where he was in and she was in, because I was like, what happened? What is this? Obviously, they reminded us tonight, but I was like, how did we miss this? That this guy was basically a sketchball. But I read like other reviews on our comments, and everybody thought it was legit. A majority of people thought he was legit. He definitely seemed like he had this, you know, arsenal to give to her. Michonne was also very intelligent. She's just not going to leave her kids in a pretty dire situation on like a small hunch. Like, she trusted him. She definitely trusted him. So So I was blindsided when they take us to like the scene of the empty graves right there. And I'm like, wait, they're dead? No, I mean, I was very shocked. Of course, he seems sketchy tonight, but I didn't think so when we saw him in the beginning of this season whatsoever.
I felt so gullible as it all unfolded. I mean, the guy seemed so damn harmless. Like, he just seemed like this, like, harmless guy who just wanted to get back. And I really was hoping that would be this massive artillery of weapons and that she would get on the boat and then save the day that way. Of course, how it unfolded was very different. I mean, I'm not mad at Virgil for what he did. It's just interesting that was his plan. And then for him to stay back and all that, I thought that was weird too. But I mean, you can see he's very damaged.
But he did ultimately. That's what's confusing to me. I still don't understand why he did it.
Well, I mean, it comes to light. I mean, as blindsided as we were to find out that his family is dead, he did need, you know, some kind of help. My question, and not to jump too far ahead, just to address April's question, is you have three other people that you locked away that could have easily helped you, you know, clear out this room of walkers. If Michonne could do it by herself, now, we know Michonne is a force to be reckoned with, granted, but you have three other people that you guys could have trained for, you know, you could have prepared yourself to clear out this room, yet you went and left and went miles away in order to find somebody and then lure them back to help you clear out.
Didn't they say like he snapped and that's when he just like locked them in? Because at first like they were good friends, but I think after that, if that situation didn't happen to him, then yeah, they could have like trained and killed all the rockers. But I think when that situation did happen and he snapped, that's when he just locked them in and all hope was lost.
Right, I believe they were old co-workers, and I think what happened was he came back from some trip and then somebody died and it triggered him, he snapped and just locked everybody in. And once they're locked in for a certain period of time, I think you burn that bridge. So I think he already knew that they were going to be after him if you let him out for help.
Yeah. Let's talk about this clearing of the walker shot, because I thought it was brilliant and it just, you know, enforces why we love Michonne so much and why she's such a badass character. You know, her and Virgil go into this room essentially. And what really pissed me off about this was that he didn't even pick up a weapon, you guys. Like, he hid behind a gurney, like nothing, no effort, no plan. He even tried to sabotage them, not self-sabotage. It wasn't on purpose, but he did put them in danger. You can't even get through a damn little thing without knocking stuff over. Like, he put them in danger, and Michonne cleared that room in less than a minute, which I thought was pretty cool.
I thought it was so cool, but Virgil is a poo nanny. And is clearly just a little too off. Like, I understand he felt bad because he accidentally locked his wife and kids, I don't remember if it was plural or not, in a room with a bunch of people who hated him. But like, also, you just found this random stranger and brought her just so she could finish them, basically. Like, if it was that, but you knew she had kids and tricked her and whatever, it's like, if it was that bad, you could have just burned the place down. Like, I know that's kind of bad, and you don't really want to do that. But no, he's a poo nanny.
Benny, what do you think?
Yeah, I, because I'm trying to put myself in his situation, and you know, I can't picture myself killing walkers. You know, I just can't see myself doing it. And, you know, maybe he was just like, he even said, like, he didn't have, you know, a lot of training killing walkers. You know, here we have Michonne, who has so much training killing walkers. So I'm on the fence with it. Like, yeah, I'm still annoyed with him for having her do all this stuff. But at the same time, I'm just like, if I was in his shoes, would I be able to do that?
I'm with April on this one. And I mean, it reminded me of like Eugene and Father Gabriel from seasons past, where they were just so terrified to get their hands dirty. And it's like, Michonne cleared the entire room. Like, it had to be maybe two or three dozens of walkers in there. You gotta, Virgil, you gotta give me one. You gotta give me one kill. You gotta give me one. Like, even if it's an accident kill can happen. He did nothing. That was just, that was backwards to me. It was so backwards. Yeah. Like, it was just, what's wrong?
The room with all the suicide walkers did freak me out a lot, though, because we've seen that scenario before where, you know, there's a walker and they hang themselves and then they turn later on and their body's still hanging, but the walker's there, but not to that capacity, especially with like a wife and children involved and like a whole room. So we obviously didn't know the extent of the details in that moment, but we knew something was up. I mean, you just don't have a room full of people that hung themselves at the same time. I thought that was the beginning of the end for me, or the beginning of my suspicions, because I was like, something's not right.
I didn't think about that. That's true. That did not cross my mind whatsoever, actually.
I just assumed that they all got depressed and realized that they weren't going to get out, and they were like, okay, let's do this. You know, let's hang ourselves, because that's better than turning into a zombie and eating each other. But he probably had them all drugged the whole time anyway, so who knows?
But my thoughts go back to, like, there were what, maybe 10 people in that room, and there were maybe what, 15, 20 walkers on the other side of the door. Like, would you guys have rather gone out fighting or killing yourselves?
Oh, man, hands down, fighting.
Fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, in that situation, we don't know if they're all like Virgil and can't fight or not. So, I mean, maybe they just opted out because they thought it was just lose-lose. I mean, I dug the way they set that scene up too with the suicide walk. I'm actually really hoping they would play that scene at like Universal Studios Horror Nights later this year or something like that. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, maybe they just opted out because they thought it was like a means to an end for everything.
Yeah. So obviously we can't trust Virgil. You know, Michonne hears these voices. She goes and explores, and he locks her in a room. And then this is when this whole like trippy, psychedelic kind of scenes start. Now, April, you alluded to it earlier in the intro when you said, you know, I could have gone without the whole tea and the, you know, that whole thing. What about it threw you off?
It threw me off because it seemed like he was, or it seemed, he said he was doing it to her so she could, you know, get over these demons, because he has all of these demons and, you know, she needs to move past them. And I'm like, okay, we know everyone in this scenario is going to have demons. They all have demons. And yeah. We're past that with her. Like, she was in a good place. I understand why they did it, to show us what they did, to show us like how one simple decision, she hadn't saved Andrea, how it could have changed her whole trajectory as a character and as a person, if we're speaking of it in, you know, quote unquote reality terms. So I get it, but like I just could have done without that part, because it seemed like he was trying to help her, but really he wasn't. I don't know. It just confused me a little bit, but I also get the point of it now anyway.
I'm back and forth with it. Like April said, I understand where they went with the whole drugging situation. And I kind of think just this whole episode in general really focused on, you know, decisions and choices. Like, can you really get mad at Virgil for doing all this stuff? Because if he didn't do all this stuff, then it wouldn't have put Michonne on the path that she is now. And so that kind of mirrors her situation in the beginning of the episode, where we see her not saving Andrea and putting her in the alternate path. So I kind of see why they did that.
Ultimately, I wasn't mad with how we got there with the mixture of the drink and stuff like that. If anything, if this wasn't a send-off episode for Michonne, I felt like we could have unpacked that a little bit more to kind of see what Virgil's past life was and what type of work he used to do. And if it was one of those things where he go back to the island, maybe he helps out with some type of chemical warfare against Whisperers. I don't know. But I mean, all in all, I thought it tied in pretty well to get that different trajectory part. And I thought it was an interesting way to get there, because it's different. You normally don't see people get high on this show, if you would. Like, so I thought it was different.
That's very true. I wouldn't oppose to seeing more people get high on the show. I mean, you know, a lot of things would probably come out. April, I do agree with you, though. I feel like they could have gone without the whole tea scenario and maybe just did more of like a flashback or even a dream sequence. Like she's having nightmares because, you know, the isolation of being locked up is getting to her, something like that. I didn't need this whole, because I completely agree with you. I didn't know if he was trying to help her or if he was crazy, but then he really wasn't crazy enough for me. It just wasn't there for me. I completely agree with you guys. Let's talk about how this set of sequences starts, though, because the whole scenario, I'm going to call it like an alternate dimension, if you will, scenario was actually pretty cool. Like if she hadn't have helped Andrea, you know, Daryl would have driven by her and then, you know, she would have been attacked by Glenn and Heath. Then she would have killed them. And then, you know, we saw what happened with the whole Negan thing, which I thought was a really brilliant idea to bring it back to that moment. And, you know, seeing Michonne as Negan's right-hand woman instead of Rick's right-hand woman, I just thought that whole scenario was pretty cool. What did you guys think?
I loved it. It's definitely one of my favorite just kind of sequences throughout the episode because of the amazing work that they did with it. Like, y'all know how much I love Rick, and so seeing him back on my screen obviously did something to my heart. even as Sadiq, everyone, you know, it kind of starts off with Sadiq yelling at her, like, you left us, you killed me, my baby. But just, it's so true. I was reading an interview that she did with therap.com, and she was saying that, you know, her one little consequence, or if, you know, we shown in the beginning was very hard, you know, she's not the loving little person that she is now anyway. She's still hard and she's still, but like, she's not what she was at first, just in the form of like just cutting everybody off and, you know, walking around with two walkers all the time. But she's like, that one little decision could have affected this and could have affected Negan. But she loved how they did the part where she's face to face with Rick, where she was about to, you know, smash somebody in the head. That was one of her favorite moments of the episode. And she said when she saw it, it like brought her to tears because of it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I loved seeing all of the old characters back, even if they really weren't back. They were just like old episodes. But again, like, I really like how, you know, how technology works, how we were able to just see both of them or all of them on the screen together. I thought that was cool. At first, I wasn't really feeling the whole, if she didn't save Andrea, she would have joined Negan. Because then I was like, wait, so Negan was in that area that whole entire time. But then, like, I actually rewatched it and I did come around to it. I did think it was actually pretty brilliant what they did there, and how they, like how you said, April, how instead of she was Rick's right-hand man, she became Negan's right-hand man. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think I was in love with that part of the episode the most. Just seeing, one, I thought Xavier Michonne was pretty badass. I can get behind that all day. And then the way they tied it in with that fatal scene where we see Glenn and Abraham die, and it was actually Michonne wielding Lucille, I thought that was cool. Even more so than that, seeing that kind of tender side of Negan when he really thought he was helping people, and instead of killing Michonne, he lended his hand to her. Of course, it came full circle with Rick killing her, but I thought it was all really well done.
Yeah, well, Michonne obviously being Michonne and who she is, she quickly gets out of this whole, you know, damsel in distress scenario, because she never is. She gets out, she gets Virgil, she lets loose the people that he has captive, and then there's this really pivotal moment in the forest with them after she gets him, and, you know, she either has a choice, and this pretty much runs a theme with the episode. One choice or one thing can change literally everything. And she chooses not to kill him. And she pretty much pleads to his group that he's held hostage forever, however long he's held them hostage, to not kill him as well, because, you know, mercy always prevails or something like that. Did you agree with that decision, or would you guys have killed him?
I agree with it. I think that decision shows you how far Michonne has come since she was first introduced to the show, because old Mel Michonne would have not done that. I feel like she would have just taken his life right then and there. But you really see her growth in this, and you really do understand that, you know, people, they do deserve second chances. You know, if they're going to give Negan, out of all people, a second chance, then they deserve, this guy deserves a second chance.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a good point in the sense of, I mean, when you, especially when you bring Negan into it, like, if you're, save him, you basically got to be willing to save anybody else. But I will say, at the time, I thought Michonne would have killed him, knowing, just because of thinking about, oh my gosh, I've wasted all this time, like, being away from my kids could be dead because of Alpha, I left to help with that. But then, obviously, knowing what I know now, so it's a little trickery with what she finds and how, like, technically he's, it's good that she kept him alive because of the information she gets shortly thereafter. It's like, it's great that she didn't kill him, but I was, you know, new Michonne or current Michonne. No, I'm not surprised that she didn't. But in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, she's gonna off him for sure.
Cedric, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it shows how far Michonne has come, because I think just even a season or two ago, she probably would have pulled the trigger on killing him and felt that he was useful. I mean, I think I would have. You drug me all the way here to an island and went from my family to miss this war. Kind of pissed off about that. But I mean, it shows that her being able to resonate with the other three to not do it and just, hey, we'll throw you in jail. I thought that was pretty cool. And it shows that there is humanity out there, even in the apocalypse.
So Michonne obviously got her stuff taken away when Virgil put her in lockdown, like all of us. When she gets her stuff back, this is when she falls down this rabbit hole of Rick. The Rick rabbit hole, if you will. So she finds the boots first. Was anybody, A, surprised, and B, a little underwhelmed that it was the boots that set her off?
I mean, no, I was not underwhelmed because I yelped when it came on the screen. And of course, I immediately knew they were his, but I was thinking, like, what else could they have left? Judith has his gun and his hat. There's nothing... you know, maybe his belt buckle, but I'm sure Judith has that as well. There's nothing else significant other than those boots that we saw year after year, like literally the same boots from season one. He still was wearing those at the very end. So I was happy, but this is when I started to realize, like, oh, wait, we're not going to see much more of Michonne if they're already giving her clues for Rick. It's also not a thing that I necessarily thought we would get. So I was super happy with how they did that.
Yeah, I liked how they did that with the boots. It would have been cool to see, like, you know, his hat or his gun. But like you said, Judith already has that. So that was pretty much the only thing. And that just got me more psyched, because we all know we're going to see Rick again in the future. So that just got me more psyched for when that's going to happen. So I'm glad they finally did give us a little teaser, because The Walking Dead at least hasn't teased us as much on the whereabouts of Rick. Fear has, but The Walking Dead hasn't. So I was glad they finally did that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the boots were real significant. I think that was the one thing that, for me at least, gave her purpose for being there. And for making her decision. Without that, the send-off kind of felt, like we all said in the beginning, it felt kind of bland, or like we wanted more. But this at least gave her some sort of purpose to go find the person she loves in the midst of all this turmoil. So I dug it.
And it just doesn't end with the boots either. Then Virgil takes her to this boat that was washed up on shore. And what kind of pissed me off a little bit was that they never give you any timeline. As always with The Walking Dead, he didn't say, oh, it washed up 3 years ago. It washed up 6 months ago. It washed up last week. It's always like, oh, it just washed up. Okay, but when? When did it wash up? Maybe asking that question maybe would have helped. Because if you think about it, Rick disappeared, what, 7 years ago? So now I'm like, okay, well, if he disappeared 7 years ago and you found his boots and then you find, you know, this drawing or etched out on an iPhone, which I thought was actually pretty clever. Oh, how... I just wish there was a timeline.
Yeah, I think at some point Virgil says he doesn't know. He's not sure. Mm-hmm. Just some time ago, it washed up, I think is what he said.
He's high on a bunch of tea anyway. I wouldn't really give him that.
He has no idea. So like, there wouldn't be a way for them to say like, oh, okay, you know, before this big storm, this happened, because, you know, they're just not going to give us that, obviously. But what ticked me off more than that was, I was like, since when did Rick learn how to etch symbols? I don't know what language it was, Mandarin or Japanese, whatever it was. But I was like, what is this? He wrote Rick, and then he wrote some symbols of some different language. And I was like, Rick did not speak Mandarin the last I heard.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it was a picture of Michonne and then Judith, obviously, and then he wrote his name, and then below it were some sort of symbol.
My whole thing that kind of annoyed me with that sketch was, why maybe I'm missing something, why wasn't Carl one there? You would think Carl would be etched on there also, especially since he died, you know?
Or not enough room on that for a third kid.
Wait, no, Carl was on there. Carl was wearing the hat. So it was Michonne and Carl on the sketch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was Judith.
I thought it was Judith.
No, because he didn't even know what Judith looked like. He died forever ago.
That's true.
Nah, Judith was she was walking.
She was like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, but he had the hat on. Carl always had the hat.
But I thought that was a girl.
I don't know. I thought it was Carl. What do people in the chat think? I don't know.
Okay, was it Carl or Judith? Judith, everyone says. It has long hair also.
Yeah.
Carl, so I don't know. That's long hair. Like, to actually figure out. But I thought it was Judith. Most people in chat think it was Judith as well. But either way, it's like, dang, he left Judith out?
He left somebody out.
Right.
Somebody got left out. And then it's like so sad because he doesn't even know that RJ is existing. So like, obviously, there's no way he could have known to put something like that on there.
Right.
That's a really good point too. I want to talk about this conversation between Michonne and Judith. And essentially it's just, you know, Michonne telling her over the walkie, hey, I might know where your father is. It was like an episode of Maury. It was like, hey, I might know where your dad is. And she was like, what? It was very weird. I actually commend Judith on, you know, having the guts to tell her mother like, hey, we're good right now. You go off and do what you need to do, because she knows that Michonne needs this. So how did you guys feel about that?
I really liked it. I thought Judith is a little girl beyond her years. And obviously it's because of everything that she's gone through. It's why she acts like this. So I thought it was really cool how she was being, like, Michonne was being the grown-up, but also Judith was being the grown-up as well in that situation, and telling her, hey, you need to do this, you know, not only for yourself, but for all of us, because she wants to see her dad. She doesn't have that many memories of her dad. She could, like, barely talk when he was alive. So, you know, she wants to see her mom happy. And she wants to see her dad again.
The show did this in literally the only way possible for them to do it. Michonne was never going to not go if Alpha, like last week we kind of talked about like, oh, we were so surprised that they killed Alpha off now. Michonne was never going to go if Alpha was still
alive. Yeah.
The sign she saw, whatever. She was always going to go back to try and protect her kids. The single tear that like dropped down Judith's face literally just broke my heart. But Judith, you've seen her grow so much, especially over the past few episodes. And it's just like you said, Benny, she wants to see her dad. I also think that she does maybe have the mindset of like, oh, well, mom always comes back. So it's like, she's going to, you know, we know that Michonne's not going to be coming back, even if she does in the form of movies, you know, not to the show. So she kind of is holding on to this hope of like, mom always comes back. So absolutely she should go after him. There's no immediate, well, there is an immediate threat, but she don't know about that yet. no immediate threat. So, yeah, I mean, just, it was such a sweet moment between the two of them. And I genuinely think that's the only way the show could have done it. Cause we asked ourselves for an entire season, how are they going to do this? How are they going to make it okay for her to leave?
I see I'm going to be in the minority here. I didn't like it. And it's just so frustrating to me because that's such, it's just such bad parenting in my opinion. Because you're leaving these kids behind. Yes, Judith. And I mean, it makes me think, like, leaving the kids behind, that's how we lost Carl. It's because Rick wasn't paying attention to Carl at all while he was out in the woods trying to save Sadiq and all this other type of stuff. So it's like, and RJ still, like, remember, if you harken back to, like, earlier season, we know Michonne previously lost her kids.
Right.
Her original kids. So you have this newborn baby who's only in his infancy. It's like, you're willing to go search for Rick, but your kid with Rick is still here, and you're not even watching him in the middle of a war. I didn't like that. Could they have done it a different way? Maybe not. But I just feel like any parent is not going to leave their newborn child to be attended in the middle of a war. I just don't see that.
No, you're totally right. And I was texting with a friend when I was watching, and she goes, maybe Michonne at least should have been like, yo, hand the CB to Uncle Daryl and let me tell him what's up and say, yeah, hey, well,
something.
And I was like, that's a great point, because that was always my biggest issue with it as well, Cedric. I was like, I get this is your husband, this is your love, but are you really going to leave your kids? I think it's just the easiest and best way for them to do an exit. But I'm on the same page as you as far as that goes, because like, it's just not the move that any normal parent would make. But I guess this is the apocalypse. So.
And just like, piggybacking on what you guys were saying, you know, it once again, bringing back to the timeline, it's been like 7 years. So you going out and finding somebody who disappeared 7 years ago, like, that's like, if you were with Daryl, or even, you know, Connie, who are pretty good at tracking, maybe, but I don't think that, I don't know. It's like a needle in a haystack. Just my thoughts.
Well, the only other good, really good clue, and it's one that I feel like a lot of people are skipping over, is the log, how it said the last destination, which then again, though, it was 50 years ago, yeah, it was in New Jersey. So maybe they ended up, you know, not to skip ahead, but we don't know where they end up dropping her off. We can either assume it's like kind of north of Alexandria, or she was like, this is the last known destination, let's go to New Jersey. But I think that is a good clue as far as like giving her somewhere to start.
Well, talking about the ending, let's talk about that really quick so we can move on to our segments. You know, we see her help these two people out, and they are part of this huge camp that have horses and it looks like equipment and trucks and stuff like that, which I was a little surprised about, because this, I mean, they were what, thousands of people deep? I'm surprised that they were able to stay off the radar for that long.
Yeah.
It seems like it's not that far from them.
Right.
Yeah, I was confused about all of that whole scenario. I was just like, is that where Rick is being held up? Is that, you know, what community is that? Is that the Commonwealth? Is Maggie there? I was just very, very confused about that whole scenario.
Yeah, it was a huge tease, like, just to see it. First, I thought it was another horde, but then as you zoom in a little bit, it made me think of seasons ago where you see Rick get peeled off in that helicopter. It makes you think, all right, how strong has the nation been around this, like, let's just call it a pandemic of zombie apocalypse, and how come people don't know about that type of stuff?
It was almost like... it's like the saviors. I was like, how did they not know about the saviors for so long? And then this massive group, it looks like they have like huge animals. I wouldn't go as far as like to say I feel like I saw a buffalo. I mean, the people were wearing like hides over themselves. I know it's for the sake of the show, but I was like, Michonne just, you know, chopped her people up and was like, okay, let's go. She didn't say, well, who are these people? I understand why. I get that. But I think it could be an extension of the helicopter people. I mean, it could be anyone. Who knows? But yeah.
It's definitely seems for... So what'd you say, Benny?
Oh, no. I was just saying, I was waiting to see a helicopter when they showed that wide shot.
Yeah. I think we all were, because we want some solid answers as to who this group is. And I don't think that we're going to get that in probably until the movies. Or maybe somebody from Alexandria will stumble upon them later on in the show. Who knows? That is our review, you guys, of Season 10, Episode 13, What We Become of The Walking Dead. I want to move on to our special segments right now. We're going to do the dead weight segment first. This segment has to do with the person who we did the least. I have a feeling, like I said in the beginning, of who you guys are all going to say. Who, Ava, I'm going to shoot it over to you first. Who do you think was the dead weight of the episode?
Gosh, it's just such a tough decision to make. This is the hardest dead weight I've ever had. I guess I'm going to have to go with Virgil, you know? Didn't even pick up a stick.
Yeah, I was trying to think of someone else, but even the people who were held captive, even they did something a little bit. And even Judith, who was barely in the episode, did something with, you know, telling your mom to go and find Rick. So yeah, I have to give it to our boy Virgil.
Man, this is so tough. I mean, I'm down to like Virgil and RJ, but I guess I'll go Virgil, because he couldn't give me one kill. Not one kill in that moment.
Yeah, I'm going to say Virgil as well, you guys. It's pretty anonymous. I mean, yeah, Virgil is definitely the dead weight of the episode. Everybody in the chat, let us know your dead weight as well. Let's move on to our favorite kill of this segment. Who was your favorite kill, or what was your favorite kill, April?
Y'all are going to probably, you may kill me for this one, but I actually thought the Andrea kill was kind of cool. And just because, like, you go back and they show her whole entire body massacred by this walker. But I just thought it was cool because it set off so many other things. And I was like, oh, Andrea, what's up? So that was my favorite.
Mine was, she didn't really kill them, but she killed them. I guess she killed them at the end, but when she got the two zombies to be like part of her bodyguards. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. And then when she decided to help those two people and then she killed those two, then yeah.
I want to think of a hospital kill, but there were so many. So actually I did like that as well, when it threw it back to her first journey, where she cuts off the walker's arms and mouths and carries them with her. I thought that was a good throwback for her, saying, like, I know where I come from and I know how to get through this zombie apocalypse by myself, and didn't do it again. Except without change, she had strength or rope. I thought that was really, really good throwback.
Yeah, I think my favorite kill is actually going to go to Michonne being killed. Michonne was killed by Daryl and then being killed by Rick. I thought that was really cool and kind of morbid and freaked me out, and I was like, this is actually pretty brilliant.
Yeah,
good one.
Let's go to, those are all really all great kills, you guys. Let us know in the chat what your favorite kill was. Before we head to news and gossip, April, are you in the chat? Can you give us some shout outs really quick?
I'm in the chat, and I have been eyeing a major comment to tell y'all. Michelle Lathon in the chat says, it was Japanese. Oh, I lost it. Oh my gosh. Oh, here it is. The message on the phone was written in Japanese. The intended translation, believe a little bit longer.
Oh.
Right? Ever since I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh.
My MVP tonight.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's amazing. Thank you for telling us that and for finding that. But we have DG in chat, Ryan B. Everyone thinks Deadweight is Virgil. And lots of love for us zooming in for the review. So thank y'all for, participating as well, because we know it's a little less than desirable, but happy to be with all y'all.
Yeah, guys. I mean, it's pretty much an apocalypse, you guys. We have to be here with you guys to, videotape it, and we've got to record it, and we've got to tell you our thoughts on Walking Dead, because we do this show for you guys. We love you guys, and thank you everybody who is tuning in. Let's get to our news and gossip. April, I know you sent some in. Ryan, our wonderful engineer, is going to, I think, pull up some graphics. Yeah. I'm going to shoot it over to you, April.
So these are just a few pictures of Michonne's last day on set. We have one of her and Daryl. We know, the cast always talks about how much of a close-knit group all of them are. There's a picture of her just kind of like smiling and being happy. And then there's a picture from the scene of her and Sadiq. And she said it's a major, like, emotional, of course, cathartic experience. But even she says she has no idea if her time in the Walking Dead universe is over. So, you know, no one's any concrete information. But, yeah, just nice to see her. She's been a character with us for so long. We'll definitely miss her, but I think we'll see her again.
I think you're right. I think that we will definitely see her again. It is a bittersweet moment. And just like Benny said, for this to be her last episode was a little underwhelming. I agree with you, Benny. But I did like a lot of aspects of the episode. And you know what? She's such a major character. Maybe she'll come back. Maybe she'll come back for like the final season. She's obviously going to be in the movies. This isn't the last we're going to see in the show, you guys.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you guys, everybody. Thank you so much for, you know, breaking this whole transition out with us. Thank you for joining us on the Zoom app while we review The Walking Dead. We will continue to do it. There's only 3 episodes left, you guys. I'm going to shoot it over to April. April, where can your fans find you?
Y'all can find me everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, all those things at April Wissenhant.
And I am Benny Adams. You guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
I'm Cedric Weldon. You can find me on Instagram at SedIsTheAnswer and on Twitter at SedSays.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Everybody, please stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay home. We will see you guys next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Final 3 episodes, you guys. See you then.
Founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.